Turn in your Bible today to Psalm 73. And Psalm 73 is the first book in the third book of the Psalms. Remember, I said on a previous occasion that the Psalms are made up of five separate books, five distinct books. And yesterday, or the previous meditation, we concluded with Psalm 72, which was the end of the second book of the Psalms. Now, 73 opens up and introduces us to the third book of the Psalms, and that runs on, let's see, I'll tell you here, until we get to Psalm 89. So it's Psalm 73 to Psalm 89. And the bulk of these Psalms are written by a man named Asaph. Now, Asaph was a Levite. He was from the priestly family. He was a Levite. He was leading in the temple worship and so on. And he wrote 11 of these psalms, Psalm 73 to Psalm 83. And actually, he wrote a total of 12 psalms. He also wrote Psalm 50. And the thing with Asaph is he's highly prophetic, that his psalms definitely look to a future time for the most part. And in fact, the Lord Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 35, calls him the prophet. And he quotes one of Asaph's psalms. And then also in 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 30, he is called a seer, which is essentially a prophet. Now, just getting back to the fact that this is the beginning of the third book of the Psalms, and I had said again on the other occasion that these five books of the Psalms also answer to the five books of the Pentateuch. And so this is striking when we come to Psalm 73, because it's written by Asaph, who is a Levite. The third book of the Pentateuch is the book of Leviticus, which introduces us to the tabernacle of God, and God's drawing near to man, and man's approach to God. And this is striking when we come to this psalm, because in the psalm we enter, or at least Asaph takes us into the sanctuary of God. Notice he says in the psalm, starting, let's say, in verse 8, they scoff and speak with malice. Loftily they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue struts through the earth. He's speaking about the wicked. He's speaking how the wicked prevail, and the wicked prosper, and the wicked grow in the earth. And they are not stricken like the rest of mankind, verse 5. Therefore, pride is their necklace, and violence covers them with a garment. He says the rest of mankind comes into judgment, but it appears as if the wicked get off the hook, and they go on their merry way. And it says in verse 9, they set their mouths against the heavens. And I already read that. Their tongue struts through the earth. Therefore, his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there no knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. So what Asaph is saying here is it seems that the wicked prosper and prosper. And then he asks the question, you know, where is God? How come God doesn't enter in? How come God doesn't judge them? Why is God silent? Doesn't God see what they're doing? And so Asaph's really in sort of quite a bad way here, in his state, he's seeing the righteous are being afflicted, but the wicked prospering and so on. But then we get this change. Verse 16 says, but when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. Verse 17 says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned, or I understood, their end. And so when he went into the sanctuary of God, he went into the presence of God, then he realized their end. And their end is, verse 18, truly you set them in slippery places and you make them to fall to ruin. In other words, in the sanctuary of God, in the presence of God, he saw their ultimate end. And their ultimate end, it will be in judgment. God does see. And it says in Ecclesiastes that because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are set in them to do evil. People think because, you know, judgment doesn't come right away, you know, we can continue on our merry way. And sometimes for us, for the righteous, for the godly person, we look and say, God, why don't you see? Don't you Why aren't you doing anything? Why aren't you, you know, striking them down or whatever? But as we see here, then when I went into the sanctuary of God, I understood their end. And isn't that striking, dear friends, that this idea of going into the sanctuary is recommended to us. We see it in this man, Asaph. It's Asaph who says this, who is a Levite, a temple singer, and a prophet, and that Psalm 73 is the first book of the third book of the five books of the Psalms, answering to the book of Leviticus. How wonderful that is. And so when we look at these Psalms as we go through the Asaph, we'll see some very interesting things, and we trust that the Lord will help us through this. And now there's another interesting verse. There's actually 28 verses in the psalm. We can't look at every verse individually, but verse 24 says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." And this could be translated another way. The glory will receive me, and afar off the glory will receive me. That's only in the Darby translation. The ESV has this way, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory." That's the standard translation of that verse. But whatever way you look at it, it's interesting. We will be in the glory. The believer will stand in the glory. We will know the glory. And again, there is a sanctuary. We can know it by faith now when we enter into his presence. We see Jesus not crowned with glory and honor, but it's not yet by sight. It's by faith. And we know that the glory is coming. It's not yet by sight, but it's by faith. The whole world will be covered with the glory of the Lord. We saw that at the end of Psalm 72. It said, "Blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory." That was the end of the second book of the Psalms, and it was a millennial psalm of Solomon, which is speaking of his coming future reign. And then the psalm closes in verse 27, 28, he says in verse 28, "But it's good for me to be near to God." You see that theme? Being near to God, drawing near to him, entering into his presence, into his sanctuary. "I have made the Lord my God my refuge. I may tell of all your works." So I highly recommend this psalm for anyone. And if you look around in the world and you see the wicked prospering, and you see evil having the upper hand, and so on, then remember Asaph's words, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end." It's in his presence, and it's in his word that we learn these things. And so interesting to see how many of these psalms are written by this Levite, Asaph, the singer in the temple. 12 psalms, and 12, of course, is the number of God's government. You know, God does have a government, and even if it seems like it's slow working on, from our perspective, remember that the long-suffering of God is for salvation. He's not willing that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yeah, so Asaph was, as I said, this Levitical singer and the leader of the choir, really. You might say he was the Old Testament version of what they call today a worship leader, head of a worship team. By the way, there are no worship leaders and worship teams in the New Testament. The only worship leader in the New Testament is the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus in the midst of the gathered disciples. The Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit lead the singing. The Lord Jesus is the choir conductor, and we make melody unto the Lord out of our hearts. We don't need a band. We don't need an intermediate group leading the singing. We can directly come to God. We don't need a mediatorial class, a Levitical class, to worship on our behalf. That's Old Testament. And once the veil was rent, we can draw into the sanctuary of God ourselves and worship him, apart from the instrumentality of man or the mediatorial intervention of man. Well, may the Lord bless this little psalm as you read it and meditate on it, and may the Lord bless your day. Amen.